This is Radio Lin, KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial, coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo Salud in the city of San Fernando. You're listening to Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that promotes the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions with experts and leaders in these fields. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. This is your host, Silverio Pelayo. And today's show is a very special show. We have a very special guest with us here in the studio, Rosalba Fontanes. She is a shamanic energy practitioner. We will be covering a variety of topics, but in general, we'll be talking about wellness and a little bit about Rosalba. As I mentioned, she's a shamanic energy practitioner. She has studied Inca shamanism at the School for the Shamanic Arts in Glendora, California. She is a full Mesa carrier. Rosalba has received the seeds of the Pampa Mesayoc and Alto Mesayoc initiations. She continues expanding the teachings of Andean wisdom with Carpe.org, her Peruvian teachers. Rosalba has apprenticed with Reverend Esther Miriam Jenkins and has been teaching Andean shamanism since January of 2014. She has the ability to perform specific rituals and ceremonies in the Andean tradition. She has received the Rite of the Womb, an energetic transmission given by a lineage of women from the jungle medicine of Peru. She is a womb keeper and Muna Kai initiator. She also organizes spiritual trips, sacred journeys to Peru. Rosalba has a bilingual healing practice where she assists with private sessions to all those who are committed to their own expansion. She is the originator of First Aid for the Soul, healing circles, and has served a community of kindred spirits for 15 years. She shares Andean wisdom for healing and transformation through workshops, classes, and ceremony. I was introduced to Rosalba because I received forwarded an email from a friend. And in this email, there was some information on some upcoming workshops with Maestro Jorge Delgado, will be coming from Peru later on in the month. And Rosalba is helping the maestro with his itinerary here in the States. And so I called Rosalba and asked about the maestro, and also had in mind having her come on the show and interviewing her. So welcome, Rosalba. It's great to have you here. It's great to finally meet you after having email and phone conversations. So glad to have you. How are you doing?
I am doing perfectly fine, thank you. And it's a pleasure to be here. It is a privilege, and I am deeply grateful, and I appreciate the time, the airtime, and everything that will come with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So much appreciated. So we'll go ahead and get started. I read your bio earlier, but I did want to start off the discussion with just, I'm sure this could take, this would be a lifetime as far as the question, but if you could just briefly tell us how you got started on your path, on this particular path.
Sure. Well, you know, when you are called to embark yourself in a spiritual journey, it's not an easy task. It doesn't come with bells and flowers and beautiful essences, none of that. On the contrary, you're being called to step on something extraordinary. And you can always say no. And I went into it kicking and yelling and saying, no, this is not for me. This is not for me. But actually, if we can perhaps concentrate in contracts and agreements at the soul level that we signed up for before we incarnated, then it makes sense that it's time, when it's time, for you to embark in what you sign up for and be of service to humanity. So for that, you have to die out to the identities that you've been identified with, and then the path opens for you once you respond. But if you don't respond, sooner or later, you have to pay dearly for not responding on time sometimes. But I was called, my mother died when I was very young, and there has been a lot of depression in my family. And all the women in my family, including my daughter, and my sister here in the U.S. fell, I don't want to use the word victim, but fell into the spell of depression. And that kind of got me into a spiritual path because I wanted to understand what that was. But ever since I was a little kid, when my mother died or committed suicide due to depression in Mexico, I always knew that there was something greater, that her doing that wasn't just in vain. It was preparing me for something extraordinary. And of course, as a child, I couldn't verbalize that. Now I know what it was, and I'm deeply grateful that, you know, I'm in this path, and whatever I had to go through, it just paved the way for me and others, and helped me and allowed me to gain wisdom in many modalities, and each one was, you know, one step higher and higher, or expansion with each modality, with everything I studied, with everything I went into, helped me be here where I am, and that is to be in alignment with my own purpose and mission in life, and at the soul level to help humanity in any way, shape, or form that I can, when they're ready.
Mm. Yeah, so thank you for sharing that. So you mentioned that, your mom passed away when you were a child.
I was a child, so I was 7 years old.
Wow, 7 years old. And so you can, when in retrospect, when you look at your life, you can see that moment as a very significant moment in the trajectory of your life, and particularly your approximation to this particular path, and I would say probably also a particular worldview, and is that correct?
Absolutely. It gave me, in few words, it gave me the understanding and the clear perspective that no, nobody has to suffer and nobody has to commit suicide due to depression. Mm. That depression has a root source. Mm. And me and many others like me are here to help out, get people out of that cycle,
mm-hmm.
and have them have a great shot at life, mm. and enjoy life.
Yeah. Were you always a practitioner, or you know, what did you do before coming around to fully immersing yourself in this practice, or in your practice and this, you know, way, I guess?
Great question. I started as a hypnotherapist. So it comes a time in your life, in everybody's life, where you finish one cycle and then you're ready to embark on another one. But sometimes you feel blocked. You don't know what's in front of you. You don't know that you have finished this cycle and that you're ready to, that you must go to another one, close that cycle and open up for the next one. Well, when it got time for me to do that, my kids were grown, gone to college, and I used to go to work crying because I felt that something inside of me was dying. And I used to pray on my way to work crying, please, 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 great spirit, tell me what to do, because I have, you know, if this is what it feels like to live the rest of my life, I don't want to be here. This is horrible. One day I got to my office. I used to be a dental assistant for about 20 years. I got to the office and I was the only person in the office, nobody else. I opened the door and I'm still crying and praying. I opened the newspaper and there was a huge advertisement about become a spiritual counselor or something or other, help people, become a hypnotherapist. And I was alone in the office, but I felt this hand in the back of my back pushing me towards the phone to make that phone call. And so that's where the spiritual path started. Before that, I would get get my hands on books, spiritual books, but I didn't understand any of that. But they did give me some kind of relaxation when I would read them. And that was at the same time that my daughter was away in college and coming down with a very bad clinical depression. And so it was all lining up. coming along to prepare me to help. And so spiritually, you know, you can say that my mom, my sister, my daughter were helping me get in into alignment in this path. And so that's how it started. But ever since I was a little kid, even in kindergarten, first grade, I almost got kicked out of school because I was telling teachers and my classmates that I would talk to angels, which I did, and they taught me how to heal, which they did. And I was just a little kid, so I was sent out to be examined on my head, to go to the psychiatrist, because they thought I was cuckoo, and you know, that's okay now. But ever since I was a little kid, I knew that I was the odd one, if you may, the extraordinary or the weird one, whatever you want to call it. I was different in that sense. But because I was a kid, I couldn't say or tell what I was. I didn't even know it, but I did have a sense that I was here with a bigger purpose, and that was to help in some way, to the point that I wanted to be a nun. But, you know, I wanted to have a boyfriend too and experience life. And so that was out of the question. But in my Catholic background, serving God was becoming a nun. That's what I knew. But when I found out I couldn't have boyfriends, I was like, no. That's not for me. Then I wanted to be a psychologist because my psychologist in therapy was the only person in the world that would understand me of whatever was going on in my head. And so I wanted to be a psychologist to help people. Then, you know, I grew up, life got in the way, and I came to the States. I met my husband the day after I got here, and I've been with him for 43, 44 years, something like that. So I became a mom, and I was home, and da-da-da-da-da. And then I opened up, or the medicine called me. Spirit said, okay, Rosalba, it's time for you to start completing your mission and purpose. Let's mess you up really good so that you can be awakened. And I embarked on what it's called the journey, the hero's journey. And what that means is that you have many nights of the soul, many dark nights of the soul, and you have to go into your subconscious, into the underworld, to clear all of your heavy stuff, to prepare you to be of service to others, so that when somebody comes with whatever problem it is, I can give them hope, and using whatever modality, but mainly is shamanic. And mainly, your guides, if you came to me, your guides, your Cosmovision and mine kind of get together up there, and it's like, oh no, he needs this, he needs that. Let's pull from here, let's pull from that. I don't call the shots. I just have the training and the knowledge. But it's your guides and mine that, and for that I need to make sure that I'm a clear channel. In other words, all the BS is out of me so that I don't get in my own way. And so that's how it has started all along.
Thank you. Thank you for that. What is shamanism?
Shamanism. Shamanism is an earth-based tradition that has existed all over the world. It is an indigenous practice that sees spirit in all levels. Shamanism, it's very old, it's nothing new, it's not, what is it called, New Age. It has existed for a long, long time. And shamanism, actually, the word shaman is a Siberian word. So we identified shamanism as the medicine men and women that came from Siberia, in that part of the country, thousands and thousands of years ago. For those who believe or understand that when the peoples of long ago crossed the Bering Strait, they came with carrying, or they had with them, a set of prophecies, a set of concepts, and they settled alongside the what is known now as the American continent. So a lot of these indigenous practices come from, we believe that they come from Siberia. And as these people settled throughout the continent, they also developed and or share them in maybe a different way, tweaked here or there. But some of the prophecies and the healings from the Hopi and the Incas were very similar. And so a lot of other practices are similar to other places in the world that have come from original people, the indigenous people of whatever they come from. So they have a lot of similarities. It's an earth-based tradition, and it dates back to before religion. The religions of the world were founded or had any foundation. So the word shaman, again, comes from Siberia, and shamanism is a distortion or whatever it's called in grammatic formalities. It comes from the word shaman. Now, in the Americas, we shouldn't use that word shaman, but that's what the West mentality or mindset understands as a medical or medicine person. But actually, it is the medicine people from Latin America, for instance, are going to be called different names. I do not call myself a shaman. Let's get that very, very clear and straight. People can call me anything they want, and I respond to most of them, if you get my drift. But people can call me anything they want. I do not call myself a shaman. I am a medicine woman, if you want to call me that. Some people will call me curandera, although I do not work at setting bones or with herbs. I work with energetically with the subconscious mind and the luminous field of the person. So in the shaman in the villages, the shaman was in charge of their village, of their tribe. So people would go to the shaman to find out where the fish was going to be a week from today so that they would know where to go and fish. The shaman could have been an herbalist in many kinds of modalities, or assert himself or herself in many kinds of modalities, or would just be the oracle of the community, of the village. And the village took care of the shaman or the medicine person. And in this, the more modern medicine person doesn't work around that way. Although, you know, I work with a community. If I had a farm, you could pay me for my services with a cow, chickens, and eggs, but my landlord would not accept that. But in olden times, the village took care of the shaman or the medicine person who acted as the traditional doctor for them, and the oracle, and the wise man or wise woman. So shamanism, the shaman works for the community and works with energy, and it works with the unseen world, because there is more than what we see with our physical eyes. There is a spiritual world that some people are not aware of, and I'm still learning. The sorcerer is not a shaman, but it's also could be a medicine person, a magical person that uses energy, but it for self-serving purposes, not for the community. So there's a difference between the shaman and the sorcerer. So I am not a sorcerer, although I work with energy. I am for the village. Shamanism sees spirit in everything. In the world of of shamanism, everything is spirit. Everything is energy. And it's not only in our surroundings, but it's the whole cosmos. The whole cosmos is energy, is living energy. If I wanted to quote one of my teachers, would be el cosmos viviente, a living cosmos, causai pacha, in Quechua.
I wanted to ask you what is the unique perspective of Andean shamanism? You mentioned shamanism is a worldwide phenomenon. There's different ways of conceptualizing and you know, depending on what part of the world. But what is particular to your tradition, this particular Andean tradition, as far as just some basic the basic worldview, or like the as it relates to you know, the world and as you mentioned, like the other world, and if you could just talk a little bit about that.
Right. One of the things that I it was very easy for me to understand was once I started walking this path, which is the path of heart. It breaks your heart open. It was the understanding, my understanding of the cosmovision of the three worlds, coming from the world of, or the my experiences with hypnosis and hypnotherapy, understanding the subconscious mind, the conscious mind, and the supraconscious mind. Their Andean cosmology has three worlds: the underworld, the middle world, and the upper world. And to me, that equated with what I understood and what was to found in each world, and what how it served the whole planet. That is one of the main things that I personally found, just for the lack of another word, amazingly fabulous and sacred. That having that concept, an understanding of that, and how to apply it on the daily reality, on this middle world, this present reality, daily life. We go and find whatever is in our subconscious mind, the underworld, the lower world, and bring it to the middle world, and going to the supraconscious and finding whatever is in the upper world and bringing it here and make it right. One of the concepts is their concept of Aini, which is right relationship. And that it was so beautiful for me, because it gave me an understanding that if I have a good relationship with all that is alive, then there's that Aini concept within me. And it's all about being in right relationship, living a harmonious life. But we can't do that unless we have that harmonious relationship with ourselves within.
I've heard it mention this notion of the three worlds. Would you say these are also physical spaces? Do they correspond to the outer world as much as they do the inner world? Or oftentimes you find in the cosmologies of, for example, the so-called Aztecs, or there's also some notion of this breaking up of the world in those terms. But can we say that this notion also pertains to the physical space, the sky? Of course, this particular manifestation here, as you call it, the middle world, and then the underworld. Could we say that is the earth, or Pachamama? Is that, can we say that it's also a physical reality?
Yes, you can say that. And now let me retract a little bit of about that concept. So when the conquistadores came to the Americas, they told the indigenous people from Peru, and I don't know, maybe in other countries too, that and down there, it was hell, infierno. And the indigenous people said, no, down there is Pachamama, our mother. So how do people come into harmony with that concept? So for somebody that is very religious, you know, as a child, I always believed in hell. Well, I have lived hell here in the present reality.
Yeah.
But down there is Pachamama is alive, is just our mother, is supporting us and gives us everything we need to be alive energetically and physically. Many ways. So it can be physical, yes, it's physical because we are grounded on her, and it feeds our physicality when we are connected to the earth. It feeds our masculinity and everything that we need to be in harmony when we connect with the upper world. So if we're connected to the upper world, the sky or the sun, and then we connect with the earth, we have all those two energies, masculine and feminine, to then have that right relationship, that harmonious aini, that harmonious give and take. The way we live, sometimes, you know, the masculine has to be higher, and sometimes the other is the other way around, and it's a dance all the time. So is it a physical concept? Yes, because we're physical, we're here, we're for reals, you can touch me, I'm physical. So but when we are connected to all these concepts and to the spirit of everything that is alive, then we are like a shaman or a medicine person with one foot in this world and the other one in the spiritual world, the unseen world. And so that's the path of the shaman, that you're always with one foot here and one other one in the spirit world, and you can come out of it anytime. And you are connected to all the elements because everything is alive.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you for that. There was another question that came up, and kind of lost it.
That's okay.
Okay, yeah. So that's great. That's a good segue, I think, for the next question or the next the next question. But before that, we'll go ahead and take another music break. And when we come back, we'll go ahead and follow up. This next song is El Sacamandú, and this is from Trio Cantores del Panuco, and I believe this is Son Huasteco, for your listening pleasure. So please enjoy this next song, and when we return, we'll continue with Rosala. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Lean, KROJ 101.5 FM. This is Platicando y Mejorando. This is your host, Silverio. And I'm joined today by the wonderful Reverend Rosalba Fontanes. Thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you. We still have a bit of time with our discussion today. I wanted to, for this next segment, I wanted to ask you about how is what is wellness in your tradition? How is wellness viewed? And then also, what is illness, sickness, and maybe particularly addiction, terminal illness?
Okay, perfect. Wonderful questions. So wellness, let's look at wellness. If we look up the word, it's going to say something to the effect of it's a dynamic process of living well, of being whole, of feeling whole and complete and full of life. So wellness to me means that if part of you is not well, you're not whole, you're not complete in this holistic world. So where illness can set in, and because you are not connected, you are not whole, something in you is missing, some qualities or some needs are not being met. And about illnesses, well, a person might feel or might be predisposed to something, but also it doesn't matter what that something, an illness, the person or the individual would have to have the right environment for illness to thrive, to get triggered and be alive within the person. So that's why it is important in wellness to feel whole, to be whole, to become whole. So sometimes when illness sets in the medicine traditions, we're going to look at that as a symptom that generated long before it manifested in the physical form. So everything has a root source. And like I said before, you might be predisposed to X, Y, and Z illness, but the right environment should exist for that to thrive. So let's say that an individual is predisposed to cancer. This person is going to have a life that has to do with drugs, that has to do with emotional issues that were never resolved, and drinks too much, doesn't give the physical body a rest, his nervous system is a wreck. Of course, that predisposition is going to develop. But if he has a sister, for instance, same household with a different lifestyle, both of them are predisposed to whatever they, you know, they might be carrying from their parents. But the girl, let's say, it's living a really healthy life in many levels, in all the levels, mind, body, and soul, and spirit. And she is not going to come up or develop that illness. It's probably dormant in her, but she is living a healthy life in all the levels of existence. So wellness sits in when most likely you have unresolved emotional issues, that every time something similar resonates to that wound, original wound, is going to get triggered and is going to bleed. And it usually bleeds on your loved ones, meaning the rage, the blame, the guilt, it's all over you, all over the place, and on your loved ones. Thus, you will be, one example is when somebody is so wounded inside, and there's hope for everything, let me tell you, with shamanic work and many other modalities. But somebody that has unresolved emotional issues, let's say had a very bad relationship with mom and dad or either one, and never resolved issues. An example would be, okay, this colicky baby had mom and dad really tired, and they decided to have a night out to the movies or dinner and left the baby with grandma, and this baby is surrounded by love. But the parents need a break of a couple of hours, so they go out to have dinner. And this baby feels abandoned. This baby feels rejected. So if that didn't get resolved right then and there, that baby is going to grow up with abandonment issues. Although, you know, it wasn't inflicted, but that's how the babe has hold that in its awareness and its luminous field. And every time the friends in kindergarten didn't want to play with him or her, that baby or that child felt rejected, betrayed, pushed aside, and is going to develop a lot of self-esteem issues and self-confidence. So do you see how this can go on and on? But everything has hope. I'll always say it's better to nurture children than to mend grown adults. If that makes any sense for anybody, please, please, please pay attention to that. So when that adult gets triggered by the girlfriend, you know, going away or leaving the relationship, that person is going to bleed. And you know, it's real. They feel that horrible pain. And so how do we restore wellness in that person? I will do it with mainly shamanic work, and then employ whatever else their cosmology or their guardians tell me and mine. So to bring closeness to all those issues, to resolve everything. And sometimes these issues come from other lifetimes to where our luminous field. Now, the shamans understand that we have an aura, an auric field, luminous field, and every experience that we've ever had an energetic imprint, left an energetic imprint within the many layers of our luminous field. If those don't get resolved, they get hotter and bigger and very difficult to deal with. Shamanism, or the medicine I carry, will go in, and just by moving the hand, we will restore all of that, heal and transform all of that to where you can remember situations but not be connected to the toxicity of the pain and suffering. There's no reason for pain and suffering when there's help around.
Wow, thank you. So much there to grapple with. Beautiful. So a couple of things I heard is experience, the past, and however it is you might define that, because you know you mentioned past lives or other lives, and it's interesting too, because you know, as you're talking about it, I remembered when we initiated the interview, you had mentioned you know, depression runs in your family, and it also seems like a crisis can also be a turning point in for possibly the rest of one's life, so that there's something, as you had mentioned, there's always hope. So even in a moment of crisis or of sickness, there can be great relief. And in your case, it was the eventual stepping into your path, right, or finding your path. I wanted to also ask you about, you had mentioned, achieving wellness through practice, right, your particular practice. How does ceremony and ritual fit in? How are those, I guess, tools or resources in bringing about wellness for somebody or for oneself?
Wonderful. I'm glad you're asking this. It's my joy. There is so much there's a need in the world so great for togetherness and connection. You know, when thousands of years ago, maybe, or maybe hundreds, our tribes would sit by the fire, and the grandparents will instruct the children and pass down the wisdom. We don't have that anymore. I really believe that gangs are looking for that ritualistic togetherness because it's missing. There was a great woman, a great author and medicine woman from Africa. She used to say that this need is in so many words, there's a need in the world of togetherness and connection. And because we don't have that, because that is lacking in our communities, people are suffering. They feel this emptiness and disconnection. So ritual and ceremony brings that, it brings people together where there are kindred spirits, you know, that relate to one another. There are, you know, from different parts of the world maybe, but when they come together, we're all brothers and sisters and we're all the same. And what ceremony does, it bypasses that part of the brain that allows you to really absorb everything through many levels of your being, to be in right relationship, to where you no longer have to be thinking, where am I going to pay the bills? The way will find if you surrender and trust to something greater than you, and you're clear on what you need. And sometimes you have to do work, but ceremony and ritual, ceremony will bring that together. When you do the ritualistic practices, and there are many, 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 and many traditions, and all traditions, the ones that I employ are to bring harmony to the person, to where they can release their pain and suffering through the elements, through the earth, the fire, the wind, the water. And so, because those elements have spirit, and they're alive. And so when we connect with them, we're no longer alone. We can use the elements. And I'm just talking about the elements right now, but there are many ways and many things that we can use to bring wholeness, to restore ourselves into wholeness.
Thank you. That's beautiful. What would you say to somebody listening that may find themselves interested in whatever element of this discussion, and maybe more specifically, maybe interested in, you know, because we talked about ceremony and ritual and in a communal setting, but one could also do this for oneself, correct?
Absolutely.
For somebody who's listening and may be inclined to wanna, or interested, or curious, to wanna maybe, you know, find some relationship or closeness to themselves, to their other self, the higher self. What is something that they could do just for themselves that could maybe get them going, get them started? Like, what is one simple thing that they might be able to do for themselves?
Okay, the very first simple thing that I just came to my mind was to place your hands on the center of your chest. You're mm-hmm. touching your heart vortex, your heart chakra. That's a spiritual or energy center. And the moment you touch your heart with your hands, you're getting in touch with yourself. And so now, if you can just pretend that there is a filament of light, like a cord of light, going from your heart, up your throat, up your forehead, and out of the top of your head, and connecting to that part of you that has never left creation. Whatever that is, you just trust that it's connecting there. And now the connection is done with your higher self right this moment. Now you're going to ask your higher self to send you more light, more love, and you're going to envision that light coming. Maybe it's golden light, and it's coming down into your head, your skull, your forehead, your throat, back into your heart. That's a very simple one that brings back a sense of relaxation, of being connected.
Yeah, I feel joy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, serenity.
Right there. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for that. We're going to go ahead and take our last music break, and we'll return, and might have a little bit of time just to discuss a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thank you for that.
Sure.
And this
My
next,
pleasure.
Thank you. This next song is Toro Mata, and by the way, some of these songs I didn't mention are Peruvian, Afro-Peruvian, and this one is off of The Soul of Black Peru. So hopefully you enjoy it, and we'll return in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Olin, KROJ 101.5. This is Platicando y Mejorando. This is your host, Silverio Pelayo, and I'm here joined by the wonderful Rosalba Fontanes, Reverend Rosalba. If you're just joining us, you're late. We're almost done, but no, you're on time. We've been discussing a number of topics, but primarily Andean shamanism, and most recently we were covering wellness and illness, and now we're just about at the end of our show, but I wanted to, before we go, I wanted to ask Rosalba if she could briefly cover addiction. As folks may know, Puebla Salud, of course, works on drug and alcohol education and advocacy, and so it's a topic that's dear to the organization. So, Rosalba, if you could just briefly cover, you know, what is addiction as it's seen in your tradition?
Okay, so addiction is seen in this tradition and many others as a loss of something very sacred within you. Probably as a child or in the past, you had a traumatic event and part of you flew away. Now you have soul loss, what is known as soul loss. Shamanic energy medicine will help you rescue those aspects of you that have been missing for a long time, that have perhaps had a very high percentage of people going into addiction. So there is hope. Know that you're not alone, and you can restore your health, including addictions. You can work with that, and you can get out of those addictions. There is a way, there is hope. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And with that, we've come to the close of our show. It's been lovely having you here.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I am very grateful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope to have you again. As I mentioned, maybe we can have all Spanish show.
Desde luego.
I do have here your contact information for anybody who is inclined or interested in reaching out to you.
Absolutely. Yes.
So you can be contacted at Rosalba Fontanes, Fontanez, @gmail.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Your website is www.rosalbafontanes.com, and you're also on Facebook.
Yes.
Under Andean Medicine for Healing. You do have your phone number as here as well. Is that okay to share?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's 747-333-8641. Again, my guest today has been the Reverend Rosalba Fontanes. Lovely having you here, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoyed the little bit of knowledge that I was able to share with you today. So if you need more information about anything you may want to work on, you can always give me a call.
Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Wonderful. Goodbye, everyone.